May the Lord help us to commence the solemn worship of God by singing hymn number 903. My bosom was designed to be a house of prayer, O Lord, for thee, a temple undefiled. But vile, outrageous thieves broke in and turned the house into a den, and all its glory spoiled. Hymn 903.
Thank you. May it please Almighty God to bless the reading of his holy word to the profit of our souls this evening. We'll read two chapters, and the first is in the book of Ezra, chapter 3. And Ezra comes after the second Chronicles. Ezra, chapter 3. So Ezra, chapter 3. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them, because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. And afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and of every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Zidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that would come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward, to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites, and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Now let's turn to the book of Psalms, and we'll read Psalm 118. The book of Psalms, and reading Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth for ever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth for ever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth for ever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth for ever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord unto which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. May it please God to bless his word to the eternal good of our souls, and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Ever merciful, most gracious, eternal Lord God, we desire to come unto thee in prayer at the evening of thy day, as we gather together for worship. And Lord, once again, we are dependent upon thy Holy Spirit to truly influence and direct us in everything that is said and done. Lord, for our soul's eternal good, and for the honor and glory of thy great and holy name, Lord, we're very thankful that it is our lot to be able, even in this difficult time, to come together through the means of the internet to worship. And Lord, we give thanks that we still are blessed in our country with freedom of worship. And Lord, we give thanks for this. And we thank that to a large extent we can still have the Lord's Day as that day set apart from the rest of the week. And Lord, we come and give thanks for these things. And Lord, we pray we may never belittle them or never think they are of not much value. And Lord, may that not be shown in our actions, but Lord, may we be found indeed truly loving the Lord's Day, truly desiring to set it aside to worship the Lord. And we pray, Lord, therefore, that as this is our wonderful privilege, that thy day may be set aside, and Lord, we may be able to separate ourselves from all the cares of our natural life, all the things which trouble us, all the things which perplex us. But Lord, help us to come and cast all our care upon thee, believing, humbly believing, that thou carest for us. And so, gracious God, we are thankful this evening to be able to come together to worship. And we pray, Lord, our time of worship may not be in vain, but we pray it may be a time of blessing for our souls. Lord, thou knowest exactly where we are in our spiritual journey. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt suit the word tonight, that it may come where we are. Perhaps, Lord, we're cast down. Perhaps we're lowly. And Lord, we need thee to come and to lift us up. Perhaps, Lord, we're high and lifted up in our own view. And perhaps, Lord, we need thee to be gracious and to bring us down. But Lord, whatever our need, we pray, Lord, thou wilt grant that blessed conformity unto thy image. And Lord, may we ever be concerned to be found walking in this world rightly, hearing thy voice, obeying thy voice, and Lord, being directed by thy Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we come tonight thankful that it is our privilege to be able to come together to worship. And we seek, Lord, that through our time of worship tonight, thou wilt be glorified. O Lord, thou art worthy of all honour and all praise. And Lord, let us never forget the great debt we owe to thee, the great God, if thou hast called us out of the darkness of nature into the glorious light of the everlasting gospel. And Lord, should there be those listening tonight who cannot claim such a blessing, we pray earnestly, Lord, thou wilt come and touch their hearts. Lord, put into their hearts that cry, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, we pray, Lord, that none may be left to be content with the poor vanities of this world, which we know perish with the using. Oh, Lord, we pray for thy abundant grace to be poured into our heart so that we may truly extol our great God. And Lord, may we know what it is to be drawn to him, Lord, in love, because of his love toward us. We think of those words, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Lord, may such a truth have a wonderful effect upon us, a very humbling effect, Lord, to think that thou hast loved us from eternity past. And now, Lord, we are on the earth after many, many years, indeed from the beginning of time and before time, when thou didst choose us. And Lord, we pray therefore that we may live our life as unto the Lord and not unto ourselves. Gracious God, then come, we pray, and do possess us and do bless us. Lord, we're thankful indeed for the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Lord, the wonderful truths it contains, the glorious instruction that we're able to read. And we pray, Lord, for a willing heart and a willing mind to hear thy word. And Lord, to be blessed with our spiritual eyes to see that which is right, the right way, the narrow way, the way which leads to eternal life. Lord, let us not be forsaken. Lord, let us not find ourselves walking in a wrong path. Lord, how we often think of those solemn words, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but in the end thereof are the ways of death. Lord, help us to come and commit our way to thee. O Lord, guide and direct us. Lord, thou wast very gracious to the ancient people, disobedient as they were, time upon time. And yet, Lord, we think of those faithful words which thou didst speak to them, that if they called upon the name of the Lord, he would hear and answer. Lord, we're thankful for the many evidences in thy word that thou didst hear the cries of thy people, and Lord, met with them and went with them and blessed them, totally undeserving as they were. And so that we come now before thee, a sinful race, a sinful individuals who can't cast stones at ancient Israel. And Lord, we have so much to praise thee for. But we pray, Lord, for that willing spirit to always, always hear thy voice and always do thy will. Oh, Lord, to give us that grace, that humble submission to thy will. Because, Lord, we know thy will is so far better than ours. And yet, Lord, we're so foolish and so ignorant. But, Lord, we would come and say, oh, Lord, choose thou the way and still lead on. And so, Lord, may we realize that we are but strangers and pilgrims in this earth. This is not our home. Indeed, that word is true. For here we have no abiding city, but we seek one to come. And may that be true, Lord, of every one of us. Lord, the evidence of thy work of thy spirit in our heart, to be able to say such words. Yes, we have. Here we have no continuing city. Sad truth indeed, were this to be our home. And so, Lord, set our hearts and our affections upon things above and not on things of the earth. Lord, we're grateful to have recorded in thy word a long account of the history of thy ancient people. And Lord, thy leading and thy direction. And Lord, the help given and the blessings granted. Oh Lord, we have to come and say with Jeremiah, great is thy faithfulness. And so, Lord, we come today. And Lord, we live in a dark day in our nation, a dark day in the churches, a dark day in the world. But Lord, we know that thou art that great and glorious light, that light which thou hast said, I am the light of the world. And oh, we pray, Lord, that we may know the wonderful blessing of that light shining into our hearts. Oh, Lord, revealing to us what we are and revealing to us the glorious work, the finished work of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, to believe, unworthy as we are, that he nonetheless hears and answers our prayers. Oh, Lord, we pray then tonight we may not pray in vain. And Lord, again, we pray for this people at Swavesey. O Lord, thou hast maintained them and granted thy mercy and goodness towards them. And we pray that may continue. Lord, thou knowest all their individual needs. And we pray that may be supplied. And Lord, we do pray that it could be thy will, thou wilt supply them with a pastor. Lord, a man after thy own heart. Lord, a true under shepherd. Lord, one appointed by thee. And we pray, Lord, the church indeed may be united together in this desire, united together in that direction for one who may indeed truly be called of thee to come and serve them as a pastor, who may go in and out amongst them and be a true blessing. O Lord, we know that thou hast ordained pastors And Lord, we pray that it may be so in this case at Swavesey. Lord, they're nice. They've been without a pastor for many years. And Lord, there have been many prayers put up to thee that they might be provided with a pastor. And Lord, there's been no answer. Lord, there's been silence. And Lord, we pray, gracious God, it could be thy holy will. Thou wilt graciously condescend to grant the true spirit of prevailing prayer to this end, that thou would indeed remember them for good and grant them may be one appointed, O Lord, of who thou hast ordained to be an under-shepherd and be a true pastor to the flock here. And so, Lord, we pray earnestly for these things. And Lord, we know thou art able to do that which we cannot do. But Lord, the things which are impossible with men are possible with our God. And so, Lord, we pray for thy rich blessing then upon this people. We pray for thy rich blessing upon young and old. Lord, everyone, each one, Lord, come and visit their souls. We pray for the young children. Lord, as they've been born into this difficult world, thou wilt be round about them to preserve them as they grow up. Lord, maybe that hedge about them. Perhaps, Lord, they may not like it. But nonetheless, Lord, may it be so. And may they know what it is to be blessed with such a wonderful feature. Lord, be with parents and grant them much wisdom and understanding to teach their children and to direct them in the things of God. And Lord, may they be able to give their own testimony to their children of what the Lord means to them and not, Lord, remain silent. Oh Lord, we pray we may all recognize that great truth in that word in Isaiah, ye are my witnesses. Lord, may that ring in our ears and be a big influence of us every day of our life, not only to our children, but to those that we come in contact with day by day, especially, Lord, in this day in which we live, where many are thinking about their day of their death. Lord, with so many people dying and being taken away through this coronavirus, Lord, we're thankful there have been many who have pondered their condition, and we pray they may not only ponder it, but Lord, that they may be led to cry unto God for mercy, and Lord, find salvation in the glorious Saviour. Oh Lord, and we pray that through these things that we find very hard to bear and very hard to understand, may we come and be able to say, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Lord, we would submit ourselves under thy mighty hand. And so, Lord, we commend ourselves to thee, and we pray for thy rich blessing upon each one, those, Lord, who have to earn their living in this difficult time. We pray that we see thy hand going before them. And perhaps, Lord, some are fearful for their jobs. Lord, we don't know what the position is, whether some have lost their jobs, and Lord, whether it's likely that others may. Lord, we commend each one to thee and pray thou would appear for them, and Lord, help them to come, casting all their care upon the Lord. O Lord, do then arise, we pray, and do great things. For Lord, we are confident and we come to one who is a great God. O Lord, who rules the universe, who created the universe. O Lord, how amazing this is, how wonderful it is. And we're thankful, Lord, that throughout this spring and early summer, we've been able to admire the wonder of creation in all the beautiful plants and flowers which are surrounding us. And Lord, thou hast blessed us with some beautiful weather. And Lord, we're thankful for it. But we pray, Lord, we may realize we do need rain soon. Oh Lord, we're thankful we have a God who controls the weather. And so, Lord, look upon us. And now, Lord, come and do bless our souls. Oh Lord, let us not come to here together tonight. And Lord, let us not have our minds wandering away. Lord, let us not settle down in an easy chair and go to sleep. But no, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with and bless us indeed, so that we may have cause to thank our God. Lord, look upon us, remember us for good, forgive our every sin, as we come and ask you all in the worthy and all-prevailing name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 953. Alas, the Lord my life is gone, the Saviour hides his face, and I am left to walk alone in this dark wilderness. Hymn 953.
May it please Almighty God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the book of Psalms and Psalm 118 and verse 25. That's Psalm 118 and reading verse 25. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. This was a good desire of the psalmist, and it would be a blessing if we have the same desire as this. It's rather strange as this verse starts, save now. It's, in actual fact, it's the same word as we have in the New Testament when the Lord rode into Jerusalem when the people cried out, Hosanna. And what it really means is an exclamation of adoration. Save now, to exclaim and adore the greatness of God, and then to be able to come and seek the Lord. I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. This was not an idle word. This was a desire, a prayer from the heart of the psalmist. He did long for prosperity. That's quite clear, isn't it? Because he repeats this word, which in itself is a powerful word, beseech. I beseech thee. It wasn't just a few words of no meaning. It wasn't just a mere repetition. It was a real desire, a real concern from his heart that he might be blessed with prosperity. And of course, prosperity, taken rightly in a spiritual sense, which is what the word of God refers to, it means that we might be indeed enjoying prosperity in that favored position of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, such a position, such a blessing doesn't come through walking on the mountaintops. It comes through the Lord's favor in grace and direction to us. We read earlier in this psalm, in verse 18, we read, the Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. So we can make the assumption from that position that he was near death. He hadn't died. He was near death. And indeed, the previous verse says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And so the Lord graciously leads his people in the right way so that we are not allowed to extol ourselves, but we are allowed to extol our God for his wonderful mercy. And that's why the psalmist commences with this statement in the first verse and finishes it in the 29th verse in the same words. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And how true that is, because God's mercy is toward us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We would have been cut off. But the Lord is merciful. And not only does the psalmist say this himself, he then goes on to say, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Well, may each of us be amongst those who are able to confirm, notwithstanding our own condition, that this word is true, and be able to say that his mercy endureth forever. Because this is a word really of exalting the name of our God. It is really a confession of the greatness of our God. And as the psalmist comes down and says, I called upon the Lord in distress. So he wasn't always in a wonderful, smooth path. No, he was in distress. He called upon the Lord in distress. What happened? The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Well, it means that we are to be found calling upon the Lord in our distress. Because we can then believe, because we have the evidence of it in this chapter, of the Lord's goodness and mercy, because the Lord answered him. What a blessing it is when God answers us. We may think we're in a very strange path. We might think we're in an isolated path. We might think we're in a path that no one else knows about or understands or has walked in. Well, be sure of this. The word of God will pick you up, because the children of God have walked throughout the ages in similar paths, in similar ways. And so what a mercy it is then, if we've come down to this place, even tonight, and crying out, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Oh, bless my soul, leave not my soul, but grant me the blessing of the Lord. And just to continue in this psalm, verse 6, the psalmist says, the Lord is on my side. Now he was in distress, but now he confesses, the Lord is on my side. And you know, it's good to just examine ourselves. Sometimes we get very carried away with ourselves, but it's good sometimes to just to sit down quietly and meditate on what God has done for us through our lives. And surely it'll bring us to this conclusion. If we are those whom he has called, we'll be able to agree and find the same answer. The Lord is on my side. We almost lost sight of it. We were so foolish. We were so ignorant. We listened to the devil. What a mercy if the Lord constrains us to consider ourselves, to consider him and what he's done for us and how he's revealed himself to us. And there we are, found in this position, almost feeling to be cast off. Well, we're not. He says, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The fear of man bringeth a snare, the word of God tells us. Sometimes we may fear what man can do, but remember, man is in the control of Almighty God, and man cannot do that which the Lord does not permit. May that be a help and a strength to us. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore, shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. And it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Let us never be found having confidence in man. Man is of no value in comparison with a blessed God. And may we have trust in the Lord and not confidence in man. And you see, this basically is repeated. He says, first of all, better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Then he goes, as it were, one higher. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Oh, my friends, may you and I have grace to trust in the Lord at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart unto me. We have a God who hears. We have a God who answers our prayer. And what a great blessing it is then to remember that. And again, David goes on. We think it's David that wrote this psalm. In the 13th verse, he says, thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Well, the devil does thrust at us sorely. I remember in the Pilgrim's Progress, there's that account of Christian and Apollyon, and they fought, and then a Christian slipped, and he lost his sword. And Apollyon said, "Here will I spill thy blood." But the God gave Christian grace and strength to stretch out his hand and to take hold of his sword, or the sword of the Spirit. And he was able to thrust the devil, Apollyon, and he fled from him. You see, we must remember always that we have this great weapon. The devil will thrust at his sword. He'll tell us we're doing all the wrong things. We're going the wrong way. Sometimes it may be true, but generally speaking, it won't be, because he won't thrust us otherwise. "Thou thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me." What a blessing that is, to be able to come to that position and that consensus and realize, yes, I've endured this thrusting of the devil, but I wasn't left. No, the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. You see, as the Lord lets us go down, so the Lord brings us up. What a mercy it is to have such a God who is so gracious and so favorable toward us. And so as we come to this verse tonight and think upon it, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." You see, it's good to remember in so many places in the Word of God, the saints of God, as their prayers are recorded, they don't dictate to God. No, they don't say, "This is the plan, Lord, that I want to be brought about." No, my friends, that's the way of the devil. We are not to follow that position. We are not to follow that way, but we are to follow the way the Lord will lead us in, and the Lord will direct us in, because we can be sure of this. It'll be for the honor and glory of God. You see, if you and I were left to organize our own lives, we'd make a sad mess of it, and be sure our lives would not bring honor and glory to God. What they would do is to bring honor and glory to ourselves, which would be totally wrong and totally against the Word of God. And so may we be find ourselves humbled under the mighty hand of God. The psalmist comes down to verse 21. He says, "I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation." And so as we see in this psalm, a variety of expressions, a variety of experiences, and the psalmist is down, and then he's raised up, and then he's down, and then he's raised up. But it's good to have these encouraging words set before us, so that we are able to observe such truths. "I will praise thee." I will praise thee. Perhaps gracious anticipation. Nonetheless, it's good to have that. And as we spoke to the Sunday school this afternoon, in the case of Jehoshaphat, a very remarkable occasion that, when he didn't know what to do, he said, "Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And on that occasion, when the army formed up, as they went to battle, what did they do? Without any victory, without any sign of victory, they praised the Lord in anticipation of a great and glorious victory, which was granted to them. What a good thing if the Lord gives us faith to believe in his word. Perhaps the word upon which he has caused us to hope. And perhaps we've thrust it aside, perhaps in our hardness and rebellion. We put it aside because we weren't willing to rely upon it. We wanted the Lord to do something far greater, where the Lord knows how to deal with us. He knows how to deal with us as clay. And what a mercy it is when you and I submit ourselves to the heavenly potter, that he may deal with us as a lump of clay. My friends, a potter has a perfect right to mold that clay. And our heavenly potter, the gracious God, has a perfect right to mold us, because that molding is to fit and prepare us for our eternal home in glory. And the Lord knows what you and I need. We don't. We may make assumptions. We may be far of the mark. The Lord knows what we need, what will be good for us, and what will be for his honor and for his glory. And so here we have these words in, "Save now, I beseech thee. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." And of course, prosperity, the blessing of the Lord, often comes about through hearing the preaching of the word. The Apostle Paul tells us in the first chapter, in the first epistle of the Corinthians, it is through the foolishness of preaching how many people disdain the preached word and turn away from it and think it is irrelevant, when it never has been and it never will be, because it is the ordained way of God to bless souls. On that day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and he preached everlasting gospel, it had a wonderful and a glorious effect upon the people. And many occasions there were, of course, when the gospel was preached, there was great blessing, and it's still today. And we should realize the wonderful favor it is to be able to hear the word of God preached. Oh Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity through the preaching of the gospel. And also, my friends, prosperity through the ministry of a pastor. And I know, as a people, you prayed for many years for a pastor. And so far, a pastor has not been provided. Now, I don't know anything about it at all, so I can speak very freely. But how important it is that we may recognize that it is the Lord that chooses a pastor. We may think sometimes that we're going to choose a pastor. Well, it's God that chooses a pastor. And it's good to be submissive to his will in this way, and not to have our own views. Sometimes we can have very false views. We can think, oh, so-and-so's very suitable. Yeah, I like his ministry. And mother, myself, oh, so-and-so is very good, and his ministry suits me. Yes, but you see, is that the one who God has chosen? Well, we can make big mistakes. And just changing, if you like, the example, if we go back to the days of David and Samuel. Remember, there was that time when Samuel went to Jesse's house to anoint someone to be king. And of course, Samuel, he looked on the outside. He saw Eliab. He thought, oh, surely this is the man. He looks like being the right person. The Lord said, I haven't chosen him. And the Lord caused all the other brothers to pass before him. And he said, I've not chosen any of them. And so he said to Jesse, are there any more sons? Oh, yes, there is one more, but he's out with the sheep. Basically saying, well, I don't think much of him. And Samuel said, let him be called. And he was called. And he came before Samuel. And the Lord said to Samuel, arise, anoint him. This is he. Samuel hadn't seen him before. He was the one that God had chosen to be king. Sometimes these things are so similar. with regard to a pastor? I don't know. But it may be the Lord has, in his grace and sovereign will and purpose, ordained a man to be a pastor for you. I don't know. You may not have seen him yet. But you see, on that occasion, he didn't have to test it out. He knew, Samuel knew, that this was the man ordained by God. And what a blessing it is for you as a church if there is someone who is called by God and that is ordained to be your pastor. Now, sometimes I've had the privilege in my life of chairing a number of times when ministers have given their testimony, their call to the ministry before the church. And one thing is essential at that time, and the same thing is essential with regards to a pastor being called, and that is, as the word is preached, that the word through him comes not to your head, but to your heart. And it has a gracious effect. Then you see, you'll look beyond the man, because you'll see that here is the Lord's anointed. Well, it would be a great blessing if the Lord should truly grant you this wonderful favor. And as we read these words, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. It would be a wonderful mercy if the Lord makes everyone willing in the day of his power to put aside all prejudice, because prejudice is very difficult and very bitter. May all be put aside, and may you be granted that humble submission to the will of the Lord. Because if the word touches your heart, then you see, that's what you'll need. You won't need someone who's very eloquent. You won't need someone who has a wonderful knowledge of many things. You'll want someone who comes and feeds the soul. That is the great requirement of a true pastor, a pastor who leads you, a pastor who directs you, and whose ministry is a blessing to you. So may it please Almighty God to grant this wonderful favor, which it is, because Jeremiah tells us about sending pastors after his own heart. And it is a scriptural way, and it is a way, generally speaking, that the Lord blesses, the Lord honors his way. And so may it be amongst you all this great cry, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. O Lord, I beseech thee, and send us a pastor, a man after thy own heart. My friends, don't have any presuppositions of who it's going to be. No, but commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, that he may bring it to pass. You know, the next verse says, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Well, how wonderful that is, isn't it? If the Lord graciously comes and sends a man after his own heart to go in and out amongst you and be a true blessing. And, you know, there was a time in Israel, they stayed in one place for a long time. And the Moses, when he wrote to the Israelites, and in the book of Deuteronomy, that long book that he wrote, going before Israel and telling them all that great history which they had. And in the early part, in the sixth verse of the first chapter, this is what he says. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Well, what a mercy it will be if the Lord perhaps not directly like that, but speaks and says, you've spent long enough without a pastor. What a blessing. Now, if the Lord should have compassion and grant that unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. And let me just say one other thing. You know, the Church of God is at peace when everybody is a little person. When people want to rule the roost, when people want to be the most important, then you see there is trouble and there isn't peace. When everybody is small in their own eyes, then you see there is peace. Then there is unity. And may it be so. And may you indeed find it to be so and rejoice in it. Well, this then is what the psalmist said. Save now, I beseech thee. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. I'm sure that's the desire of a living soul. The Lord will send prosperity, spiritual prosperity, that we may be found growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is prosperity. This is not worldly prosperity. Worldly prosperity comes and goes. My friends, if the Lord comes and graciously blesses our soul in this way, that we grow in grace, and that, of course, is the free and merited favor of God that we never deserve, we never have, we never will. But what a mercy when it is so, you and I might be blessed, which it is, with this spiritual growth. And not only that, then in the come to that greater knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a favor it is to know Christ and him crucified. Surely it is the most important, the vital thing in our lives. And often refer to it, may well have referred to it before here, the desire of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Philippians. He desired spiritual prosperity. And he outlines it really in simple words, but words of blessing and words of instruction to us. And in the third chapter, he tells us in the, perhaps going down to the seventh verse, when he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And that's good to weigh that up in our lives. What things were gained to me? Things that may be gained to us may not be beneficial. Those I counted loss for Christ. And then he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. That's a great statement, isn't it? All things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And of course, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, brings with it eternal blessings. You see, the things of time are not eternal. The things of time are fading. As Solomon said, they're all vanity of vanity and vexation of spirit, but not this. This brings peace to the soul. This brings joy to the soul to realize the wonderful benefit of the blessing of God. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. A humble confidence, nothing wrong in that, my friends. Some people deny this truth, but it's a blessing. God has touched your heart. Indeed, as we spoke this morning, if the work of the Holy Spirit came and pricked the heart, touches the heart, directs us to the Savior, it is a great blessing, isn't it? For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He is the most valuable thing in the whole world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us have a right view of Christ. And he says, and be found in him, united to Christ, not united to the world, that perishes. United to Christ is eternal. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that righteousness, of course, is that glorious white robe that he gives to his church. What a mercy it is that it's put on us. Lord gives it to us. It's imputed to us. And I often think of the great difference between our sin being imputed to our God. Amazing, isn't it? The Lord takes upon himself our sin. Every sin. Every sin. Oh, the Lord Jesus takes that sin. He has taken that sin. And my friends, he suffered on Calvary's cross to redeem us from our sin. What a great and glorious Savior we have to receive that wonderful benefit in exchange for our sin, his robe of righteousness. Spotless, no sin. Pure, no sin. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Well, the apostle, of course, knew the Savior, didn't he? He'd met him on the Damascus Road. The Lord had been with him on many occasions. He was with him, but he wanted to know the Lord more. And the power of his resurrection. Resurrection power is outside of the things of this world. Resurrection power, because it raises from the dead. Nothing is greater than that, to raise that which is dead to life and be found in him. Therefore, blessed with this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Fellowship of his sufferings. People perhaps may think, oh, I don't think I want that. I don't think I can ever desire that. I don't think I can ever want that. Well, here is a word. I beseech thee, send now prosperity. And spiritual prosperity is walking with Christ. Spiritual prosperity is union with Christ. And you see, fellowship with his sufferings doesn't necessarily mean what sometimes we might conclude. We're going to have to suffer some great difficulty physically. The Lord knows what it might be. It may not be anything which is physical. It may be just purely a spiritual recognition and situation that the Lord leads us in. But it is a blessing to have fellowship with his sufferings, because it means then we are united to Christ. And it doesn't come about by having a smooth path. It doesn't come about by walking in a broad way. This comes about by union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he brings us into these places. He brings us into these paths so that we are favored to enjoy. You may say, well, how can that be? Because we have the evidence that we are united to Christ with that eternal unity. That's the blessing of it. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Yes, conformable unto his death. If by any means, says the apostle, any means, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, I may understand, that for which also I am understood of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what is very clear from that is there is a pressing forward. It's not a question of just sitting back and taking it easy and thinking well, everything else will work out all right. There's a pressing forward. But pressing forward how? In union with the Lamb. From condemnation free. What a blessing that is to be favored like that. And so as we have such a desire before us tonight, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. It's a good prayer, isn't it? What a favor it is if we truly desire to pray this so that we may be spiritually blessed. We're traveling fast through time, aren't we? The years flash by and the days approach when all of us will finish our life on this earth, when it will be said to us, time shall be no more. Yes, our journey will be complete. And then where shall we be? Where shall we be? Will we be found in glory with the Saviour? Well, we shall be if we have been blessed with that union with him on this earth. If we've been blessed to be found walking with the Lord. If we've been favoured to enjoy his presence, enjoy his words to our heart, enjoy the word of God as it speaks to our soul. Some people enjoy the word of God because of its literacy. The church of God enjoy the word of God because it speaks to our soul. We're able to trace out the pathway of a child of God and to find an echo in the word of God with regard to our spiritual life, and therefore have the evidence that we are in that narrow way that leads to eternal life. Well, to have this blessing of prosperity, spiritual prosperity, and not to be found stagnating in the things of God. Oh, that you and I might be lively in the things of God. Now, the Lord brings about liveliness sometimes in not the way we expect. But the Lord is gracious. The Lord knows how to deal with us. He knows how to bless us in our soul. He knows what we need and we don't. But the glory is this, that he deals with his children to bring them to esteem and extol the Lord Jesus Christ and to praise him for all that he has done in redeeming their soul, in saving our soul, in dying for us to atone for all our sins, granting us that great, wonderful grace of repentance. It is all the gift of God. And what a mercy it is then if this prosperity directs us in this way so that we are able to trace out the good hand of God blessing us, perhaps not in the way that we thought, but the word of God tells us this, he brought them forth by the right way, Israel of old, written 107th Psalm. He brought them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. God doesn't make any mistakes. You may wonder sometimes, well, why am I walking this path? It is the path ordained by God for our spiritual good, so that we are then amongst those who are being prepared for our eternal home. We're not being left. We're not being forsaken. No, I will not forsake thee. What a mercy that is to realize the Lord is with us still, causing us perhaps to cry unto him. Perhaps we've almost forgotten how to pray. Perhaps prayers become very formal. Well, the Lord won't allow us to get into that condition. He brings us into the place of want. Just like that prodigal son, remember, in that parable the Lord gave, that man, that boy, that young man, he went off, left all his father and everything he had, spent all his being and all he had in riotous living, and the day came when he began to be in want. Well, what a blessing that is. If in our lives there has been, or there is, or there will be, a day like that when we begin or began to be in want, and we realized the things of time were passing and were of no real value, and the things of eternity were staring us in the face, and we had that true concern to be right with God. Well, the prodigal son says he would return and go to his father and tell him he was no more worthy to be called his son, make him as one of his hired servants. Well, he came back. He got so far, he told him he wasn't worthy, but he wasn't able to say, make me as one of thy hired servants. And the father said, son, what a blessing that is to hear the Lord speaking to us. Unworthy as we are, just like that prodigal son was not worthy. And yet he said, son, thou art ever with me. Well, to think that we are united to Christ and that eternally, it surely is a wonderful and a great blessing. And may we strive again and again, seeking for the Lord to prosper our soul with this urgency, as the psalmist had. Oh, save now, I beseech thee. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. And we can be sure, if the Lord indicts that prayer, we can be sure the Lord will answer. But it may be that we need to be patient. You see, David tells us that he had to be patient in the 40th Psalm. He tells us, I waited patiently for the Lord. Don't become impatient. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, didn't forsake him, and heard my cry. And in his time, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Well, may that be our lot, to wait patiently for the Lord, committing our way unto him, but nonetheless having this true desire the Lord would send now prosperity. Oh, then let us covet these words and desire they may be fulfilled in our lives. Save now, I beseech thee. Oh Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock to be addressed by Mr. Izzard. And on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, Mr. Graham Cottingham is expected to preach in place of Mr. James Pack, who is unable. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Gary Christie is expected to preach at 10:30 and 6:30. Let us close with hymn 678. There's not a man that's born of God, but readily will say, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Hymn 678.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.